think teams need to be familiar and leveraging it. Not everybody needs to be having some like low code certification or, you know, whatever else. I think you need to operate within your area of expertise and specialty. But I think if you are not doing that while leveraging the AI tools specific to your specialty and niche and at least at that basic level, that is when you will get replaced by somebody who is willing to do that or another team member who can kind of absorb those responsibilities because they can leverage GPT better than you.
Hey, fellow marketers, welcome to another episode of the Marketing Careers Podcast presented by themarketinghelp.co. All right, let's jump right into our next episode. Now, this is our season focused on helping marketers, marketing leaders, and teams navigate generative AI disruption. So hope you've been enjoying the episode so far. Now, the opening you heard is from our guest, Karen Howard. Now, she is a lifelong marketer with roles all across the board here. Account management, growth marketing, marketing operations, even the head of marketing for a stint. And she's someone who has been connected with the generative AI scene for quite a few years now. So with her combination of experiences in digital marketing, marketing operations, and AI, Karen is now working as an AI strategist and consultant, working with brands, startups, and tech companies to identify the best ways to leverage AI as part of their marketing and team operations. Now, based on her comments in the opening, Karen has been behind the scenes working with marketers and marketing teams on what they need to be doing in order to effectively integrate AI into their day-to-day. So you're going to want to be ready to take notes when listening to this episode. And as always, check the show notes for links to specific resources mentioned in the episode and some ways to connect with Karen. All right, let's get into it. Here is my conversation with Karen Howard. Karen, welcome to the episode.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. So let's start here. So this is the Marketing Careers Podcast. So we like to understand more about our guests in terms of what was your path in getting into marketing. So maybe just walk us through a couple of minutes of how you got introduced to marketing and how that led you through your path of positions to where to what you're doing today.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's marketers are in two camps. You either have this wild, you know, like winding path to get into marketing and how you found yourself there, or you're like went to school for marketing and now you're in marketing. So I'm definitely more on the winding path. I was a lot more focused on like really early career on photography and graphic design. So that was kind of where I started to base myself out of. I was doing a lot of freelance work there. So I was always marketing myself. But also, you know, had those ups and downs. So kind of randomly found a job at a marketing events agency. A friend got me a job there and I wound up, you know, being on one of their top accounts and realizing that I was actually really good at marketing and was doing, you know, product activations for Adidas and, you know, marketing tours for Tillamook Cheese. And very much kind of fell into it in that capacity and started to realize that this was a path that I think I was actually kind of somewhat meant for. So that, I mean, that was about a decade ago and just kind of through ins and outs of different companies and helping to launch different startups, well, was always the kind of the team member that wore the marketing hat, by default, you know, whether or not that was necessarily what they hired me for. Right. And then that's kind of wound up into the last five years or so. I have been doing, either just like very straight up consulting marketing consulting work, or have been working with large teams doing B2B marketing and helping to kind of like expand a lot of B2B SaaS efforts around marketing as well.
Nice. So, I mean, it clearly sounds like, I mean, it's great to be in that position where you realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm good at this. And
yes, that's a nice moment.
Yeah. And that's treated you well. It looks like in your path and where you've been and what you're doing now. So when you think about, and I like to like set the context for every guest that we have, because everyone's role is a little bit different in terms of what solutions they provide for, whether it's in-house or agency or consulting. So I like to ask, how do you describe what you do? How do you describe what problems you solve, let's say, to the non-marketer? You know, layman's terms at the dinner table when a relative says, "What is it you do again?" How do you describe exactly what you do?
I don't think I've ever had an answer that satisfies that relative or my 7-year-old of like, "What do you do?" Like, yeah. I don't think I've gotten to the place where I can describe that super well. but I mean, currently, what I'm doing, I'm consulting with a handful of different companies in some different industries. Kind of my main thing is I go in and I do, I would say kind of more of a full business audit, but that includes like your business operations, sometimes your business model, but also your marketing, Those are kind of my two areas of expertise. But while I'm doing that, I'm also very much looking for ways that we can leverage AI into those processes. So, you know, whether it's, you know, I come across a business operation that you're maybe really inefficient in, and I know that we can plug an AI tool in there and we can solve that problem right there or solve that gap. Very much like there's a lot of work to be done there where I'm kind of leveraging AI in that capacity. Or obviously with marketing, there's so many different marketing tools and you know, we can kind of build out our MarTech stack a little bit differently with the AI support that we can get now. So that's kind of what I'm being able to offer. My grandma still would not understand that answer. So being able to kind of dumb that down a little bit more. I mean, I could try, but I'm not sure I have gotten to that level yet.
Helpful. I mean, so even when trying to put it in that context, it's still very clear. And I'm sure our audience can connect with it because it is the 1-2 punch when you think about it, the operations component that you're saying, because if you don't know, you know, almost what engine to build, then you may not be as effective in the front end or the top of the funnel in driving that demand. So it sounds like that's a nice, unique skill set that you have there in terms of what you're doing for these clients. Now, it'll align with what we're going to talk about here in a couple of minutes in terms of the AI component that you're helping with. Because what we're looking to do here is just, you know, this series is really just focusing on talking to experts like yourself to get those insights, tips, cautionary tales, approaches, frameworks that you've seen work or that you've seen make sense when businesses or marketers or teams are trying to wrap their head around how to navigate this Gen AI disruption, as we'll say. So having said all that, when you think about, you know, setting some context for us here in the conversation, your perspective from what you've seen, how do you describe what is generative AI?
Again, to my grandma or to like the general marketer?
General marketer.
Yeah. I mean, Gen AI is, we've had AI systems around for a while. Generative AI is the ability to create something fresh and new. So instead of taking existing things and being able to kind of populate that, you know, that it's trained on, you know, XYZ, it's able to create new things out of it. So that's where we're suddenly in this new era of AI, whereas marketers, especially, we're seeing a lot of stuff around like copywriting or like ad creative, is because we're able to create something that is actually new based off of these trained models. And so that's opened up, I think that's kind of where that rat race has started for especially our industry, is that we've actually been able to like potentially replace some things, but also fill a lot of gaps of roles that we are currently doing or members on our team are currently doing, and being able to create that net new item in a matter of seconds potentially. And so that's kind of where we're in this new stage of why this is so disruptive at the moment, is because we're able to create things that are fresh.
Right. I mean, that's a good perspective. You know, creating fresh things that in some ways it's pretty intuitive, right? You know, write a blog post. In other ways, it's a little scary because it's like, well, what else can it do? And now we're at this point where we don't know what we don't know. But anybody who's trying to think about, you know, their place in this generative AI world, that's a good starting point, right? Knowing that that's what it is about creating new stuff. Now, when you think about in companies that you worked in or maybe clients that you're helping, you know, what do you see as the common, call them disruptive moments around embracing AI? You know, what happened? What was the catalyst that said, hey, wait a minute, we've got to figure this out? Or, you know, what are some of the situations where you've identified and saying, you know what, now's the time we need to dig in here and educate on AI?
I think it depends on the company. Some of them, the moment was like seeing competitors adopt before they were, and they're starting to lose maybe some market share, or they're just feeling that pressure of falling behind. Mm-hmm. So that on its own is a very strong catalyst for a lot of clients and a lot of companies out there right now. I think, you know, in some cases there are elements where like there are some employees that are really wanting to be on that cutting edge and they might be leaving these companies. I think more so you're seeing like not even just the competition sense. I think just with, you know, like various degrees of how the economy is going through some ups and downs, a lot of customers or clientele are a lot more discerning in how they're going to spend their budgets. And if you are still doing things a very old and inefficient way, which maybe was not inefficient before AI, but now in the light of AI or in the shadow of AI, it is inefficient. You're going to get passed by and you're going to miss out on those dollars. And so I think that is going to have an immediate impact to businesses. And I think in my experience, I have passed by certain vendors or agencies because they are doing things in an older way that are not to the level of efficiency or output that I need them to be, that I know they could be if they were leveraging AI. So I think that can also be a disruptive moment where the people who are not early adopters and who are just kind of like, we're going to continue to do what we were doing, you know, the whole time. It's not that big of a deal. Nobody's fully figured it out yet. You know, like somewhat true things. They are having clients come to them and they're doing their discovery calls or they're doing whatever else. And they're like, well, are you leveraging AI? And when the answer is no, you know, people who are early adopters or who are trying to get on that train usually are, you know, understand enough to know that they're not going to get the most value that they could potentially get for their dollars as they, you know, which is obviously different than it was 2 years ago. But I think that's also hitting companies. That's being a driving factor of why they're starting to dive into AI and trying to figure out how they can stay, I mean, you know, competitive with their competitors, but also just in the game.
Yeah. And you bring some good perspectives there because I think initially it may have been the competition. Hey, wait a minute, what are they doing that we should be doing? I think what may be more prominent, especially within marketing teams, is it's the talent saying, hey, wait a minute, we're not embracing this, or how come we're not trying to embed this in our product, or how come we're not trying to do things in this way? And off goes the talent, you know, into the more innovative environments. Now, that's not every place, but in my mind, it reminds me of the time, you know, the advent of social media when agencies weren't able to figure it out because they had to find the expert in social media to come in and tell them how to create a campaign in Facebook. Meanwhile, the talent that was embracing it was like, I'm going to that social media agency that just does that.
Yeah.
How soon before we see the AI agency, and they're probably out there already, where, you know, they're attracting all this innovative talent that's doesn't want to fall into the, you know, the kind of old school way of operation.
Yeah.
So good perspectives there. Now, when I think about how that translates to what you're doing today, when you think through these companies that you're talking to, or how you're helping them out, you know, what's a common use case in terms of, you know, almost like the scenario that you typically see where, oh my gosh, this company could use my help. You know, what are they missing? What are some things that the pain points they truly have? And then what are some of the solutions you provide to them to plug in?
Yeah. I mean, when you're consulting, it's unless you're very niched in like one industry or company, it's going to be very varied, very varied, you know, depending on each company's needs. And also it's depending on what the team and the resources they have and their willingness to dive in, you know, like where are they at in their own journey of, like, you can say you want to change your processes and be more efficient, but like a lot of people are still like stuck in the mud because they just are. And that's how they are as like people, or they have too much red tape, you know, built into their business. So, so there's not like, I don't have a very clear answer to that of like, this is a very common use case of everything. I think there are some very commonly accepted things of like, I guess one of the things I do help with that I think is kind of broad is around, access to, like, I mean, there's like the efficiency to like automate certain tasks and do that kind of stuff, which is, I think, pretty much clear across the board that people can do that. But like the accessibility to try new things is a big blocker for a lot of smaller companies and even larger companies of like, we would have to have this entire dev team build out this whole process and like whatever else. And you don't need that anymore. If you have like, I would say three of the right people to step in and really like drive that with you. So I think that's kind of a big part is like prioritizing with my clients of like, here's the gaps in your systems. Here's what you want to do. Here's what you need to do. Here's what we maybe don't need to do right now. Now let's kind of prioritize on top of that based off resources, based off of, you know, ability to dive into this, you know, and timeline, whatever else. And then it's kind of getting started with, depending on what they're looking for, you know, is it just training their team up on basic ways to use ChatGPT so that they can be a little bit more efficient in their day-to-day? Or is it helping them identify a low code, no code individual to bring onto the team if they don't already have one? And potentially also a dev and kind of have that power team together. And then ideally, I would say there's potentially another third person that's like that creative driver who's like this, you know, and I kind of fit in that role a little bit of like, here's this system, here's this operation. you know, we can make these talk with AI. Let's get this low code, no code person who knows how to make those things happen and build that out. And then maybe have some dev support, you know, whatever else that might be. But it really does just depend on, like, I think the product that you're selling, if your main focus and impact that you want to make is towards like your customer experience and the product that you sell, and you need to leverage AI to help that become better or, you know, whatever that is, or is it like your internal team processes, you need help making those more efficient because you have to reduce headcount or you have to make yourself look more appealing to investors or whatever that might be. And the answer typically is both. It's right. It's usually like, you know, advancing your product and helping your team be more efficient and more XYZ. But I think, but the nuance of like how are we diving into what those specifics are? I think, again, just kind of depends on the product, the industry, and the company that you're working with.
And I think I have to imagine there's aha moments that happen when working with clients in this space because they just don't know what you know. And Have you had a chance to have any clients, you know, experience an aha moment where they're like, oh my God, it only took how long did that take? Or how quick was that? Or that typically takes us a cycle of 6 weeks and now it just took us 2 days. I mean, have you seen any of those aha moments?
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't want to like harp. I feel like it's super common to bring generative AI back to copywriting, but that's a very easy way to like, you know, oh, you're producing one well-researched article for every 6 weeks, you know, like, that's great. Let's still do some of that research, and still have that, you know, editor and that writer as a part of it, but let's train them up to leverage AI so we can get this done in 2 weeks, or we can get this done in a couple of days, right. You know, like depending on the level of research that you actually need to have done. So that is a quick thing of like being able to talk through like your impact of like your long form content. I would say like distribution of content and repurposing of content is also a huge one, of being able to turn that one video or that one blog post into 7 different assets, like very quickly. I did one exercise with a client where I wrote them a blog based, like just pretty much leveraging GPT. And then I edited it and, you know, kind of made sure it got it the rest of the way, so it wasn't too AI written. And then I, you know, plugged that information back into GPT and I wrote, you know, a video script, and then I immediately recorded that video and it was ready to go. You know, it took me like 10 minutes to do a double take on that video. I got it straight to the editor and they were able to, you know, edit out the door. I turned that copy into like 10 pieces of, like ad creative headlines. And then we're able to throw that into Midjourney, you know, and figure out, you know, how we want to do that ad creative. And I was able to kind of do this whole exercise. I mean, I think it took me like 3 hours or something of just kind of walking through of like, here is how we can make this one piece of information or like this one piece of content as impactful as possible. You know, we wrote 3 different emails for a nurture campaign that would drive people back to that content and either put them towards the video or put them towards the blog post, or, you know, how does that CTA, you know, layer into all of these elements? So being able to like really produce like a full suite of assets very quickly, you know, around one topic or around one thing. That's one area of like a shocking moment for some people. Then there's also like leveraging programmatic SEO as much as possible and like being able to like produce 1,000, you know, web page articles in, I don't know, maybe like a 2-week sprint or something, like whatever that might look like. And like building those glossaries or whatever else and being able to kind of index in that way. So those are some of the areas that you can like really like, not just use it to like help me write that one email, but leverage it at scale. And being able to like do that very quickly, obviously, is a lot of people, if you're like, we can do 1,000 blog posts here for you very quickly, like they're like, oh my God, we get 4 a month right now.
Right.
So, you know, that is, I would say one of those aha moments of being able to kind of open up minds of like remove your constraints of how you traditionally do things. Let's think big. And then we can bring that back in if we need to, if we don't quite have the resources or the tools, or we haven't learned how to do that yet. Like, let's bring expectations back into what we really can do, but like, let's start by opening it up as wide as possible. And then we'll kind of bring it in and get things a little bit more in line as we need to.
I love it. I think there's probably those you're working with the clients, especially in that use case you gave, you know, couldn't believe it. Just in terms of, you're a one person content marketing machine, but it isn't you. It's you knowing how to use these tools in order to produce and scale, like you're saying, which we'll dig into a little bit in a couple of minutes. But You know, I think about all these improvements, the efficiencies that you're helping these companies gain. I guess from your perspective and what you've seen, now this may include some of the past roles that you've had too, but do you see any negatives tied to, you know, call it the under-reliance or over-reliance of these tools?
Yes. I mean, you never want like a single point of failure. So, yeah. You know, however you're going to build your company around, say, AI, like understand the risks at hand besides just the normal, like it's not always giving you the correct answer. You still need to double check its work. You still need to like have quality checking across what you're doing and not having anything just fully automated going out to like prospects or anything else that you're not really paying attention to. So, I mean, for sure that like over-reliance on AI, I mean, it's true with anything, I would say. Yeah. Like you never want to be all in on one tool that you could, you know, lose everything in one moment or something. So, or your entire business model, especially with AI, because like it's developing and growing so rapidly. Like I know there's certain tools out there that built their entire company on like GPT 3.5 and then point like 4 came out and like their entire company was like redundant to exactly what GPT could do. You know, like that everyone had access for $20 a month, you know? Yeah. So there's stuff that you need to be very, it's like a both and of being very mindful of where are we at right now and how do we keep up to what things look like right now, but let's not have the blinders on for the future of like, is this worth the impact we could make say for 6 months? And we think that that's worth that effort that we're going to put into building this or to developing whatever this is using this technology. But are we okay with that fully changing in 6 months or is this maybe not the best path we should go down? It's going to cost too much. It's going to take too much time. It's going to, you know, whatever that is. Right. So for sure there can be an over-reliance on it. I think that it's obviously still not in a way of fully replicating humans. I think we probably will get there at some point, probably not in the too distant future. but you still need to like, even training it on your tone and voice and even training it on all these things, it's still going to say things you probably wouldn't, and you still need that creative element behind it. And so far as like an under-reliance on it, I do think you need to be very mindful of how you are ignoring AI and how it can help your company or your clients or your team. And like kind of going back to what we were discussing earlier, it really can impact your bottom line, and it can impact your team dynamics, it can impact your customer experience, it can impact just your willingness to move ahead. You know, like you will become archaic much faster than our parents' generation did in their roles, you know, of jobs that you're like, oh, I don't need to do that anymore. Like we don't just have a data entry person sitting, you know, that's all that they do all day is just, you know, put these forms into the computer. Like, why would we do that anymore when we don't have to, you know? And we have to be very mindful of that and considering that that is going to happen. And if you do have that 10-year plan for your business or that 20-year plan or that I want to pass this business down to my kids plan, you know, like you can't under-rely on this. You have to be layering it in some capacity that you are comfortable with. And I mean, you should be starting, I would recommend starting now. Yeah. But I mean, there are risks both sides. So, yeah. You know, you got to find your balance with all things.
Good perspectives. Yeah. I think anybody listening, any marketer listening that is tied to a team that you may feel is a laggard and moving slowly in the adoption part of this. Well, there's some ideas you can take away from this to help to maybe nudge along, or there's options we'll talk about in a little bit about, you know, finding a different path. Now, you know, in your experience now, and it sounds like, again, clients are hiring you to help them figure this out. So I'm sure in your position, you have to be aware, you're challenging yourself to be aware of what tools exist. So I guess more from a, you know, kind of your personal best of list, you know, is there a list of go-to tools that you have? You mentioned the use case of, you know, all that efficiency around content creation, but is there one tool you provide or recommend over others for completing certain tasks?
I mean, I think I am definitely down to like the as low no code as possible. I learned how to do HTML with MySpace, and that was a very important time in my life. And I have, you know, continued to do, you know, very basic like HTML, CSS stuff. But I am not a coder or developer by any means. but I don't think, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of the tools, is you don't have to be anymore. I'm definitely always kind of impartial to OpenAI. That's kind of my LLM of choice. And not just using ChatGPT, but also using the Playground and leveraging the tools that they have inside the Playground as well. It kind of opens up a little, like, I feel like it opens you up just a little bit further. Sure. I also a little impartial to Midjourney if you're doing, you know, image creation. I know GPT is actually, I feel like, caught up pretty well to Midjourney and some of that. So maybe I'm being a little bit slow on just jumping more on, you know, getting it all done in one tool.
Sure.
But then, you know, as you're figuring out your plugins or your API connections or, you know, whatever else you need to do, I would say that whatever your CRM is, if you can connect that to GPT, that's going to open you up to a huge amount of capabilities with your customer data and being able to analyze your data analysis or figure out hopefully activity filters or other information from your customers. That's a big one that I look into right away if you do have a CRM that can connect easily and you have the ability to do that. And then also just, you know, leveraging Make or Zapier to figure out, you know, which plugins, which tools can you get in either into then your CRM, and then you're using GPT to kind of help bring all that together, or whatever else. Like, that's kind of where I think I would start from. And then I dive in further to what do you already have? What is your existing tech stack or MarTech stack? And then what can we kind of leverage from there, or what should we replace for a different tool?
Because you probably run across, and that's a great list, but you also probably run across some of these companies that does have an existing tool in their tech stack, that tool itself, that point solution itself, decided to implement an AI function, which I'm sure they may look at that and say, well, what do we do? I don't know what to tell it, or I don't know how to use it. Do you come across that where you're also educating clients on how to embrace the AI functionality that is just materialized inside, you know, these CRM tools, or even look at Canva, what they've done? It's like,
right.
You know, again, I'm sure that there's value you're bringing, but do you see that a lot too?
Not as much. I feel like in some of those existing tools, the UI and the UX for those is pretty self-explanatory. So if you are seeing that and immediately like, oh no, like we probably have some other problems that we need to work through and some training. I mean, like there's other tools like some CRO tools that I've used, like Mutiny, where you dive in and they immediately can, you know, generate copy that they think is going to be better, like higher converting or whatever else. Like those are such easy, just like click a button and do it. So some of it is just drawing attention to it for clients and saying like, hey, there's this tool, let's use it. And they go, oh, okay. Not a lot of training ideally should be done there, or hopefully is needed there. There are so many tools out there. There's so much I don't know. So for me, there's always kind of that learning curve as well of like, okay, this tool now has this leveraged in it. Did they just skin GPT differently and it's redundant and we don't need it? Or we can just not use OpenAI and we can just use the tool.
Right.
But I think go ahead.
I was going to say your value is some companies don't even know that that's even an option. So I think even your awareness of the fact that a tool could just scrape or repurpose or white label, you have a training enough eye, I think, to identify and help companies with that, which I think is a learning for everybody out there that's getting more involved in these tools, is realizing where there's the true, you know, innate functionality that's created versus the ones that are kind of white labeling. So
totally. And I think there's a lot of companies that are even like closing doors, building their own LLMs. But ideally they're trying to compete against OpenAI or Hugging Face or whatever else is out there. And some of that, I'm sure there are a few that are very promising, but a lot of them, like, they still, are they trained on the functionalities and the data that you need it to be trained on? And if not, then it's not helpful to you. So it's not going to be useful anymore. So you just kind of have to learn as you go, as these things do pop up. There is so much where I have no idea what the actual number is. I'm going to say 97% of everything is just GPT skinned differently, you know, and you really have to know, does this tool actually add value, or could I just ask GPT to do it for me and it would already do it? Like, do I need to pay for this tool or the subscription or whatever else? So I think that's just part of it as well, as learning of what is this new tool? What does it do? Is it helpful for us? Does it actually do what we need it to do? And then helping a client through, you know, like, do we need a new tool? And some clients only want to stay in their like very tight, small tech stack. which can be really beneficial, also kind of gets us at risk of a single point of failure at times. And then there's other clients who, like, for whatever reason, refuse to do things in, like, you could do all of this in this one tool, but they're like, no, I want 17 tools and we're going to connect them all and we're going to do all this stuff. And then you have like 17 points of failure that all like have a ripple effect everywhere else. So there's, you know, there's two sides of it and trying to navigate that and figure that out. But it's a learning every time you're jumping in with a new client of where they're at, what they have, what works, what doesn't work.
Right. So I guess, you know, sticking with that train of thought or that statement you're giving there, it's almost, when you think about how marketing teams, so let's say in our audience, we've got marketing team members, those that are leading teams or those that are part of larger teams. You know, when you think about the approach, like a word that I hear a lot when it comes to this space is adoption and integration. When you come across a team where you know there's clearly an opportunity for them to be more efficient, increase their goal or improve their goals, I should say, what's a recommended approach, you know, to that marketing team member or marketing leader listening where they're thinking like, yeah, I got to tackle this with my company, you know, at a more of a strategic level, what sort of approach would you give to them to say, Hey, do it this way. If you're looking to get, you know, the adoption, the integration done correctly.
I think we're at a new phase of AI where it could make sense to bring someone in, like someone like me to come in who has been, you know, paying close attention for the last couple of years and been playing with like the beta versions, whatever else. I think there's definite value in that. Some of it depends on how quick you want to go or need to go, I think. So you have to figure that. I mean, each client is going to have to figure that out for themselves. I would say you might be surprised at the individuals on your team that are already looking into it or are already very curious about it. And to some degree, that might be all you need is someone who's really curious about it and to allow them the support and space to start chasing that down and start figuring out solutions that work for your company. Since ideally they have some of that intimate knowledge of your company already and they won't have to jump in and get up to speed. I think that there is there's a huge barrier to entry just by their C-suite and by their executive team. They're not going to either, you know, earmark budget for it, or they don't think that they think you're going to get too off, you know, off track from this quarter's goals because you're going to go off on this project or whatever else. So there's definitely going to be some like marketing leadership skill sets of getting buy-in from your leadership to be able to move forward with that. I think that's a little bit of a different conversation, but could be part of it. So, I mean, starting, I think you need to understand, you know, if you are a marketing leader and you need to start leveraging AI, I think you need to understand like where your company is at and really be able to have eyes on at least a basic level of, you know, these processes need to be updated. You know, we could be more efficient in these ways. We have this amount of open headcount we're trying to hire for, but I know we could reduce that because we could make our existing team members just more efficient and hopefully like their jobs better because they can do more, they have more time to do more fun things instead of the manual stuff. So I think it's kind of a both and thing. It's either finding someone, it's being honest with your knowledge and your experience of where you're at and what can you do and what can your existing team do? And can you identify that person so you don't have to go outside to find someone else? Like do that. But if you do need to go out and find someone else, I would be very discerning on who you find. And I would recommend, you know, there's the people who just hire and don't know what to do. And then there's those people who try and learn and then hire so that they know what their team is doing. I would prefer that approach personally, but I know not everybody works that way. There are a lot of people out there who say that they know what they're doing and they don't with AI. So, you know, I think if there's just curiosity and a willingness to learn and the support and minimal resources to at least support that, just kind of get started and identify that person or those few people and kind of run from there. And then figure out, you know, getting buy-in from your leadership team if that's part of that equation as well.
I love it. I think that's great advice in terms of you may be working with people that already have the capacity or the motivation, quite frankly, to go do the digging and the research and you know, trying to think of, you know, business cases around, you know, the adoption of certain things. But I like how you said it in terms of like, at some level, there's always education that's required, you know, for you and your marketing team, because you want to be aware before you start to converse. It's almost, you know, akin to picking an agency where you want to know exactly what they should be providing before you go to talk to them to see what they can provide.
For sure.
But this space, you know, a lot more fluid, a lot more dynamic. But, you know, the onus almost falls, if I'm distilling what you're saying, the onus falls on you, the marketing team, team leader, is to, you know, disperse some education, you know, look internally first before you decide. I think timing's big too, before you decide which path to go, because there's some companies out there probably saying, oh, it's a 2024 initiative. And here, you know, 12 months from now, they haven't moved the ball at all.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, there's so many ways to go about that too. There's, if you do need to hire someone to build something for you, I've spoken with some of those individuals as well. And it's like, the cost on that is astronomical to right. like, you know, hire these dev teams that can just build this full thing for you that you want. It's possible, but right. if you don't have that capital, like, and that's not really part of your roadmap of really investing in AI. I mean, don't think that that's the only option. Like, be scrappy, be nimble, look for what you have. I mean, I have always been in teams, and I am an individual that is as nimble and as scrappy as I possibly can be with what I've got. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that on its own has pushed me into AI, you know, because it's helping me continue to do that and my teams continue to do that. So, that's just my recommendation. I know every company works differently, but if you can find those people, you know, under your nose, then yeah. you save yourself headaches of trying to get buy-in from, you know, increasing headcount or, you know, paying $1 million to this vendor or, you know, whatever that might be.
Exactly. All right. Good stuff. So we've spent some time here digging into kind of current state, what you're seeing in terms of adoption with companies that are trying to embrace and navigate this Gen AI space. We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to focus more on future. Let's take a look into what's coming or what we think is coming. And talk about, you know, your thoughts on where you see that going. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey there, Eric here. And I trust that you're enjoying this season of the Marketing Careers Podcast. Do you have a favorite episode yet? Do you have a favorite actionable tip? Well, that's okay. We got a ton more episodes coming. So hope you enjoy the rest of those as well. Just want to remind you, we have this resource we've curated for you at themarketinghelp.co/GenAI. And there you're going to find a couple of things, a comprehensive list of AI marketing tools, including some tools you probably have not heard of yet or have not tested yet. So you got to check that out. We have a complete AI transformation checklist, adopting some of the things you've heard so far, but also it gives clear direction on things you need to make sure you do at the right time. And can certainly help with any team or marketing leader navigate this disruption a lot smoother. We also have an excerpt from our recent book we published. The book is called CMO Disruption Playbook Generative AI, but we've extracted even more value for you with a free download of an excerpt from that book. So all the things you need to help with this this disruption of generative AI, head on over to themarketinghelp.co/GenAI, grab that free information, and enjoy the rest of this season. And let's get back to the episode. But now let's focus forward and let's think about impacts, actions you and your teams can be taking when it's time to actually do something. So Karen, I'll start with this. When you think about, I call it my coulda, shoulda, woulda moment, go back to that time when you first realized, maybe even before ChatGPT, when there is the simplest AI functionality that you recognize and said, hey, wait a minute, this is something. When you think about that moment up until where you are right now, is there anything you could have, should have, would have done differently in terms of your path in this AI space?
That's a good question. So I was playing with, I was in the OpenAI Playground beta when 3.5 came out. So I was in there a little bit early. I think if anything, I wish I had a crystal ball and I knew, you know, when things were going to be coming out and what they were going to be able to do. I think right. That's always the big curtain for the Wizard of Oz, you know, of like really what is on the other side of this and what are we going to be able to do and what are we going to see on the other side of this? And nobody, I think people kind of know now and we're getting ideas, but we also don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think that I would have set my team up with the assumption that we were going to get there quickly because we knew we were going to get there quickly. We just didn't know how quickly. So I think budgeting and team structure in a way of like, we know these things we want to do. It's really close. Like 3.5 is really close to letting us be able to do this, but it's not quite there yet. But we know that minimal tweaks that will probably be coming soon are actually going to open that door for us. And I think we knew that. We just didn't know the timing of it. So we kind of backburnered it as opposed to like set ourselves up in a in an offensive way.
Right.
So I think I would go back and I would do that differently. I would set us up more of like the, I mean, and there's a risk to that for sure, obviously, but like with the assumption that this is happening, it's going to come. We will be able to do this. Let's get ourselves as prepared as possible. I think it's kind of like having a kid, like you prepare yourself as much as possible. And once it comes, it's like totally different, you know, like, and you couldn't actually have been prepared for that, but
right.
It goes a little bit better if the nursery is set up, you know? So, I think that's kind of what I would have done differently is operate from the assumption that this is going to happen. It's going to happen soon. And I'm going to be ready to jump on it the minute that it does.
Right. Right. Cause think about how many of us were maybe taken off guard. We were like, oh, this is just like crypto. And we're just kind of like pushing it aside because it didn't really have as much, you know, mind share as it probably right. could have or should have.
Right.
Because I think we all can think back and be like, man, I really wish I would have tested out, you know, that even 3.5 tested out right. more before, you know, wait, I feel like there's so much more I need to catch up on. That's good perspective is about having a stance of offense versus defense.
Yeah.
Now let's big question here. And this is the one I'm always interested in perspective from all of our guests is if we look, you know, we look forward, not in the crystal ball, just more of like, you know, pontificating or predicting. When we think about the next year, the next 12 months, you know, what do you see the impact being? You kind of alluded to it a little bit in some of your responses when it comes to the teams and the marketing roles, but maybe go a little deeper there in terms of 12 months from now, you know, what's happening to marketing teams as it relates to the roles and responsibilities now that AI is, you know, has 12 more months of operating.
Yeah. So 12 months from now, I mean, now I do anyways, but I would expect everyone on my marketing team to have very actionable working knowledge of the main AI tools that they have accessible to them. So ideally, I mean, just basic level, that's OpenAI, that's ChatGPT, and having that open every day and leveraging it for, you know, thinking first of like, can GPT do this? Do I have to fully write this email from scratch? Or can I start from a base? You know, can I feed my brief in and start from here? Like, can I save a bunch of time and just headache on myself to do this better and easier? So I think teams need to be familiar and leveraging it. Not everybody needs to be having some like low code certification or, you know, whatever else. I think you need to operate within your area of expertise and specialty. But I think if you are not doing that while leveraging the AI tools specific to your specialty and niche and at least at that basic level, that is when you will get replaced by somebody who is willing to do that or another team member who can kind of absorb those responsibilities because they can leverage GPT better than you. So yep. I think that that's like a, I think that's, that just kind of goes along the lines of like team integration and early adoption. And I mean, it's not super early adoption anymore, but if you are really still trying to run ahead as fast as you can, as smart as you can, you know, in your team and in your department, you've got to be leveraging this. And as a marketer, you know, if you're still spending hours doing your like data reports and your data analysis and grabbing your, you know, other reporting things manually, like there are either, you know, tools that you can buy to do that, or you can feed it into, you know, GPT's data analysis. You know, and you have to start figuring that out now while it's imperfect. But I think that's for me, that's kind of a main thing that I would ask of my teams. And I am looking for in like any potential new hires is like, what do you know about AI? How are you leveraging it now? Are you curious about it? Even if you're doing it, you know, minimally, I need to know that you are interested in it because then we can build from that. If you are threatened by it or you're going to continue to do things the same old way, I'm probably going to pass you by because I need us to be like moving forward and doing things smart and quick. And it's not always going to be an AI replacement of what you do or, you know, whatever else, but it's going to help you and it's going to help the team.
And I 100% agree. I mean, this almost reminds me of some of these other tools that were new to market and wanting to have a team that was tuned in to how to use the Wixes and the Squarespaces when they first right. came out.
Right.
Or, you know, Twitter when it first became a yeah. thing. But what's your perspective on, because this is the other loaded question is, you know, is AI going to put marketers out of jobs? Or let's fast forward. Which jobs do you think are at risk to be redundant when AI or as AI begins to matriculate?
Yeah, I think the immediate response is copywriters and data analysis analysts. But I don't think that's fully true, because like I write a lot of copy myself, but I mm-hmm. still need a copywriter on my team. I just expect them to use AI
right.
to help them. So I don't know. And I think there is a thing of like, will I need 6 copywriters? No, now I only need 2, you know? Right. So I think there is that is reality of it. We're going to be losing some jobs or just like reducing headcount growth, which that's what everybody's doing right now anyways. So, I mean, it's on trend, I guess, but I would say that like, I think trying to think of all the ways that it could like really dive in. I know that, what was it? Google in their most recent like announcements of things, they had like a big conference a couple months ago, and they were talking about, you know, how they were utilizing that for ads and navigating AI analysis to, you know, serve ads in a more efficient way and to like adjust ads to your audience, you know, that are, and really kind of automating that a lot more. I still think you need someone to like be watching that.
Right.
So no matter how much you can automate things, someone has to be watching it. Now, can one person be an expert in all the areas of marketing that you have automated and be able to like quickly identify and see like, oh, that one thing is off and that's going to actually put us on the wrong path? Like, I don't think so. Right. I still think you need a team to kind of sit in and do that. And we're also just not to that level yet. And I don't think we will be in 12 months, mostly also just because adoption is not going to be there in 12 months. So I don't think you have to be that worried. Right. I do think you need to be like leveraging that. I think the one thing that I feel iffy on is like the data analysis and data analysts that could go away quicker, I think, than others, just because that is more in the mindset of LLMs of navigating data and being able to do that. There's still that element of like, can you tell that story? And is the automated version telling the story that you want it to tell? Is it looking at that data in the way you want it to? So that still needs that human person and that human individual who knows, you know, what that KPI meeting things, you know, like what the team wants to see, what the executive team wants to see, how are we sharing and showcasing that data? Like you still have an individual that needs to be behind it. So I really don't think, I don't think any marketing roles will fully just like disappear of modern digital marketing roles.
Right.
There might be a few here or there. I think it's more so of like, headcount will not be quite as big as it once was, and it'll just be a little bit more efficient.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That like you said, you've seen the impacts of that already. But you know, if there's a marketing leader building a team in 6 months, you know, original headcount of 10 may now only be four or five.
Right. Yeah, I would say so.
Now, let's take a look at it from the other perspective, which is given all that you said. Is there a new role that's now created for marketing departments that is looking for and embracing? Because I heard you talk about what you did for your clients earlier, and I'm wondering, is there a new title or role for what Karin does? You know, if there's a team of 5 Karins, what are we calling them?
Yeah.
Are they still called social media marketers, or are they called AI marketers? I mean, I'm just using a working title there, but.
I don't know. There? I mean, the AI jack of all trades individual, you know, I think it's been the growth marketer title, yeah. I think, yep. for a long time, where yep. you just kind of are all, you know, the marketing manager became the growth marketer. Growth marketer is going to become the growth marketer who understands AI and can kind of, you know, stick their hands in a whole bunch of different areas. I think that it depends on company structure and whatever else. I do think that there's that whatever that low no code person is, you know, probably is not sitting on the marketing team, but they might be. You know, that could be an individual that actually becomes a very integral part of just companies in general that will work very closely with marketing or should be working very closely with marketing. They should be understanding what marketing's problems are, what they're doing. Don't obviously need to be a marketer themselves, but they need to be diving into the company needs, which is inclusive of marketing's needs. So I think that person is a role that I think will increase in need over time, which may or may not be on the marketing team itself. But then there's also I mean, I think that there is very much an open space for somewhat of an AI consultant or AI expert to be able to be, you know, again, that might be broad across the company, but if they are also sitting in the marketing team, that would make a lot of sense. It makes sense for me because those are kind of I'm kind of like operations, marketing, and then AI is kind of coming in and pulling it all together.
Yep.
So if that's what you're looking for, that's great. I don't know how many people there are out there with that kind of weird skill set. But I think that there's a democratization of roles and access to AI that you don't necessarily need to have one point person individual to be the AI leader or whatever else. But I think that from a company perspective, you need to have someone who is mindful of it, driving it forward. Again, could be someone existing on your team. But being able to leverage the individuals that you might need that have that deeper expertise with a low code person, with a, you know, team members who are leveraging AI in their own niche skill sets. I think that's going to be more important than like an entirely new, like just like the new weird titles of
exactly.
XYZ.
Exactly. Now, so you hit on some things there earlier about, you know, expecting a marketing team, and I agree, like everyone on the marketing team should have a base skill in using a AI tool, let's call it, you know, like a ChatGPT. Are there other skills that marketers should be working on right now to prepare themselves for wherever the evolution of the roles or marketing teams develop?
I would say if you want to be serious about it, if you want to kind of just like be one of the fish in the sea, you need to have those basic skills of, say, ChatGPT and be able to prompt at a proficient level and get the outputs that you're looking for. I think if you are really wanting to look attractive for new job offers or for the value you provide your existing company, ideally setting yourself up for, you know, pay raises and promotions, I think it's reasonable to say to not go too broad. You can niche in. So say if you're an email marketer or data analyst, you know, whatever your role is, paid search marketer, whatever that is, I think you should be looking in and going down that rabbit path in your spare time, you know, spend an hour a week really diving into what are the tools that I can be using? How can I test out some new things? Ideally, you have that space to test at work in a safe environment. If not, you know, make it your hobby for a little bit. But I do think you need to be taking that extra step if you are that kind of ambitious person, to be able to really understand, like, yes, I am an email marketer. I do know how to use ChatGPT, but I also know that, like, Klaviyo, the Constant Contact, XYZ, like these tools that I use, we want to use these ones and we don't want to use these ones for these exact reasons of how we can connect this into our broader CRM or you know, whatever is we're navigating with that. I think that gives you so much more of an edge and so much more of a attractive look for recruiters and new companies and your existing company. That would be an important step to take if you really are interested in this.
Great tips. I agree 100%. So if you're out there listening as a I like the way you position it, right? So if you're truly serious about it, which I think everybody should be, if you're thinking about long-term career stability, you know, this is a pretty eye-opening moment that it's time to at least, like you said, hour per week minimum,
right?
In tinkering, testing, playing around with these tools. Not that you have to test them all, but, you know, start with the need or the pain point and then you know, see what you learn. Now, having said that, if you're a marketer out there listening and you know, someone who's, again, serious to double down, is there a specific resource that you use or recommend or would point everyone in to say, hey, if you want to stay on top of this AI space, you know, here are some, you know, sites, blogs, channels to check out? Anything's come to mind or ones that you're using?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of stay close to the kind of the larger announcements. So, you know, after OpenAI has an event or if they have a new feature, like I stay close to kind of their blog and their product announcements to see what is out there and what's working. There's some individuals I would say are like AI influencers around, like there's a newsletter called The Rundown that I really enjoy. And they'll also, they showcase a lot of new tools that are coming out, whether or not they're great kind of depends. But in general, it's a lot of AI news and stuff. I think there's a lot of the other newsletters and stuff I've seen feel redundant to that newsletter. And that's the one I started on. So maybe it's redundant to them and, you know, who knows, but I do really enjoy the rundown. I think there's some, individuals on Twitter or X, like, so the guy who actually does the rundown, I think his name is Rowan Chang. Following him on Twitter is also, is like, it can be enlightening of showing things. And that can also open up, obviously, your algorithm to seeing other individuals that are showing just quick tutorials on how to do AI. So I think for my capacity, I'm still just kind of looking at where I currently am, which is on social media and whatever else, and seeing, I'm following those individuals who are like, I just figured out this new thing in Midjourney. Here's how you do it. You know, like, here's how you turn this camera mode on. And then going and playing with it myself, you know, and figuring out, you know, teaching myself how to do it. So there is that. I think there are some other individuals. Again, this is kind of like, you need some discernment of who actually knows what they're talking about, and also who is just copying and ripping from the other people who do know what they're talking about. So whatever. But there's, I think there's not like one direct source. I guess I don't have a great answer. There's not one direct source. There's a couple direct sources, but just on social media and finding kind of those main people and then kind of spider webbing out from there seems to be pretty efficient.
Yeah, at least the ones you mentioned we'll include in the show notes, because I think there's a good starting point. Because imagine there's marketers out there that don't know where to start. And I like how you said that, like, be careful, right? Make sure you're finding a trusted source and not the person who's you know, kind of ripping from everyone else. Right. So I guess final question here, just kind of opening the mic to you to kind of leave your parting wisdom for our audience here, because clearly you're in a space where you've seen a lot, you're learning a lot, you're implementing, you're a student of the game, so to speak, in terms of you're staying in touch with what's happening in the AI space. So if you had to distill any wisdom to our audience of marketers, what's the one thing or things you want them to take away from today's episode?
I think it's that it doesn't have to be scary. I think that there is the paralysis of looking at a blank screen of, say, like a ChatGPT window and going, I've heard that prompting is difficult and I don't know where to start. And so you just kind of close the window, you know, and like, I'll figure this out later. Just don't be afraid to play. Like, and especially if you're not, you know, implementing systems in your back end and whatever else, like, you know, maybe wait a second before you do that, you know, so you understand a little bit more. But like, just open up that ChatGPT window, the, you know, the whatever window you want to do, and just play. Like, it's $20 a month, get the resources, and then figure out what it does and what it doesn't do. And then, I mean, for me, like, failure in my prompting is just like a challenge to do it again. So I know some people will like, you know, there's this one prompt to do it all. So I'm just going to like write what I tell it to do, but you didn't do it correctly, / it can't do it, you know, off of one prompt. You're going to have to maybe go through a little bit of a prompting journey to figure out, you know, what that end goal is, or try again. But just like play with it, see what it can do, adjust your expectations, also continue to expect it to do more than what you want it to do, you know, and just kind of like dive in. But I think that when we're assuming that the old way of doing things will just remain and continue, maybe it's not hitting you now, but it's going to hit you soon. So just don't ignore it. Like it's time to step in. So go ahead and play. You don't have to change everything in your life around it quite yet. But play and see what happens. And I think that you will hopefully not regret that.
I love it. Yep. Just get in. And listen, it's worked in the past when other marketing disruptions have come across our paths here in this career. So this should be no different.
Right.
And I think everyone can relate with staring at that screen saying, oof, yeah, I don't know where to start or what to say. But right. I think that's the beauty of prompting, is that do it again. But there's enough guides out there to help. There's no reason not to start. So great perspective. Karin, what's the best way for our audience to reach out to you if they want to continue the conversation, maybe ask more around your services? Where should they connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think LinkedIn is the best place. Okay. Obviously, it's around this kind of stuff. I try and talk about AI on my LinkedIn as well. So if that's of interest, that's a good place to kind of follow that information. But yeah, I mean, LinkedIn is a great place to go. I would have used to say Twitter, but I can't get in there anymore. So
got it. Understood.
we'll jump into LinkedIn. That'll be great.
Perfect. So I will include a link to your profile in the show notes. But again, Karin, thank you so much for your time. G- great insights, great perspective. I do appreciate your time in sharing this with our audience. So appreciate the time and best of luck in the coming year with everything you're doing in the AI space.
Awesome. Thank you. You as well, Eric.
All right. A big thanks to Karin for her time on today's episode. Great takeaways I got from this conversation. First is, you think about leadership's role in embracing and driving AI adoption. And she gave a couple great examples of the responsibility of that marketing team leader, you know, challenging them to really foster an environment that is asking their teams to find solutions for the existing and upcoming AI tools. Other takeaway was just the impact of AI on marketing team dynamics and the structure. Listen, the efficiency gains of AI tools may lead to leaner, more focused teams where you may not need six marketing team members. You may need four or three. And if you're developing a marketing team, look for candidates that can showcase use cases and examples and a comfort level with AI and really focus on building a team of quality and efficiency. All right. Check the show notes. There's a couple tools there that were mentioned that you definitely have to check out that Karin had mentioned. Make sure you're subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast. We'd love to hear from all of you out there wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So are you enjoying the season? Just drop me a line at connect@themarketinghelp.co. And I'm your host, Eric Harbison, and I will catch you on the next episode.